I'll never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Hello and welcome to the 42nd Scannon podcast.
42. Yeah, the answer to life, the universe and everything.
Yes. Indeed.
So we're going to give you all the answers tonight.
To life, the universe and everything in between.
AKA films.
Not a guarantee.
So, wink. What have you gentlemen been watching?
Well, not a huge amount, actually. I started off the weekend quite well, but then a kind of early week has been kind of busy, so not a lot. But we will start, one of them is in the top 10, so I'll talk about two others. Last Friday, I think it was, I rewatched Shame.
Magnificent.
And it's my first viewing since the cinema. A certain appendage of Michael Fassbender's is now normal size on the TV screen as opposed to
intimidation on the cinema screen.
You can chop your head off it.
It's still pretty intimidating.
It is, yeah. It's an extraordinary film in a lot of ways, and possibly Steve McQueen's best film. Although, depending on what they ask me, that answer could change. And I still
depends on the day of the week.
Yeah, and I still need to rewatch 12 Years a Slave as well.
Isn't that just a reflection of how good he is, though?
Yeah. I mean, Shame, the performances by Fassbender and Kerry Mulligan are astounding. And crucially, you believe they're siblings and that they're damaged, which is the central thing. And the unnamed, although you can probably guess a couple of reasons as to how they're damaged, and it's kind of alluded to a couple of times in the film. But the absolute power of it and the kind of descent into hell and so on is just, it's awe-inspiring. And the filmmaking skills on display and the soundtrack, it's great. And it's like, it's disturbing viewing, it's grim viewing in a lot of points, but Jesus, is it good. It's what you go to cinema for.
It's raw.
It is raw.
And I mean that in both the best and worst possible ways.
Yes.
Well, because, look, I mean, it is normally, you know, a film all about sex, whoa. But it's about sex as the antithesis of what most people think of sex for pleasure. This is sex as guilt.
Sex
as
addiction.
Addiction.
As a drug, basically.
Yeah. Basically. It's, it says shame in the title, although that only comes into play right at the end.
But it's there, though.
But
it's hovering over the film for the whole
thing. You feel like a lot of things are hovering in that
film. There's
a lot of unsaid.
And that's the kind of the smarts of it in real terms, is to actually, the economic kind of feel of the film. It's not giving much away. It's left for the viewer to fill in their own kind of thing to it.
The material is explicit. The emotions are not. But they build.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Wish I'd have said that.
Damn it. It's almost as if he's a writer.
Yeah, and he's written some words on occasion.
Yeah. I saw Shame, and again, the cinema as well, but I had to rewatch it a few times since because I was so blown away at the time. And I just, when I watched it, I thought, God damn it, there are some things I need to work out. The emotionality of it, I think I was just so kind of shocked by it the first time.
Yeah.
But then you go back and just think, God damn it, Michael Fassbender, that is phenomenal work.
He's an extraordinary actor. I mean, like, if you think of it, and like, is he a proper, would we call him an A-lister at this stage, or close to it?
Academy Award nominee, I think he can.
I mean, he's
leading.
Yeah, like, that's what I was saying. So, yeah. But to do something like Frank, say, and not be seen pretty much throughout the film, there's a lack of vanity in that as well, like, in terms of that kind of, like, beyond the skill. Like, you know he's there, even in the head, you know he's there. Because he acts, if you will, the other one. And, like, I think he's brilliant, and him and McQueen, you presume they're going to go on and have the most extraordinary cinematic partnership, don't you?
They're three for three. I mean, not just good films, great films, three.
You would wonder, the sky's the limit. I mean, good Lord, it could just go on and on. I mean, imagine this every couple of years. I mean, the fever pitch cinematic kind of thrill for that.
Every couple of years. Here it is, my most likable song ever.
Well, he's teaming up now with Justin Kurzel on two films. So
yes, which is very interesting.
Assassin's Creed, this is the first time ever I've been excited about a video game
adaptation. I think, in fairness, that's probably the first time ever anybody has been excited, because it sounds like somebody's going to do it right for a change.
Fassbender and Marion Cotillard. I haven't seen Macbeth yet, but
it's one of the major anticipated films this year.
Her is Lady Macbeth. That's terrifying.
And brilliant.
And sexy. Anybody else? No?
No.
I'm with you. Good.
I hate to reduce it to those levels, but she is astounding in every sense.
I shall drool.
I'll stop that.
Sorry.
Too far. Although we are talking about shame, so fair enough.
Indeed. And all sorts of, speaking of shame and drooling and all sorts, My other film that I watched the weekend, Wetlands.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say Beethoven. Because it's a secret
shame. I wish
shame,
you had.
And it's about drilling.
And also, but he's talking about Wetlands, and this could go badly. Go on.
I presume you guys know of it.
Yes.
I know of it, but perhaps contextualise it for people who may not be familiar.
Wetlands is a German film based on a novel, which I haven't read, about a teenage girl and her adventures in, Jesus, how to delicately put this for a PG-13 rated podcast. She basically, her kind of sexuality experimentation kind of combined with the fact that she has given up, for various reasons, the idea of hygiene. Like, as the mothers of daughters tell them, be clean and, you know, make sure you're in your best underwear, you know, should you be hit by a bus, all that kind of thing. She's abandoned all the concepts, because why should women think that and think that way?
Right.
And her obsession with things that are filthy and dirty and...
The dirtier the better.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It's an extraordinary film in many ways. I watched this on Saturday morning.
Thank heaven.
Which is interesting to watch it. There's a couple of things here.
We're laughing. I don't like this.
One of the things is the idea of, quote-unquote, the gross-out film.
Yeah.
And the male kind of domination of that men can do anything and women can't. And women have to be a certain way. And there's this narrow parameter of how women should or either perceived to be or should be by society, men, blah, 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 all that kind of thing. So this is the total opposite of this. And she is... I don't get into details, but... And apparently the novel's even worse, but... The thing she does, it's really a sight to see.
Right.
And it's very funny in the darkest possible sense. And the actress, Carla Jury, I think she's a Swiss actress, is extraordinary. She's extraordinarily beautiful as well, and really kind of charismatic. So
which helps probably
you.
Helps the drive the point home.
Yeah, exactly that. But she just doesn't give a shit what people think of how she is. One problem with the film, if I was kind of being... The first hour or so was great, and it kind of builds. But it's building towards a kind of a conceit as to why, and it gets a bit ploddy and a bit obvious towards the end, which is...
That's okay.
It doesn't detract
it.
It doesn't take it.
That's
it's dark. Kind of sort of, but it's really interesting. It's very well filmed. There's a really, really sharp and funny voiceover to it. And some of the imagery is great. I'd recommend it. Not for the faint-hearted. But the idea, I'll put it this way, the idea of women in kind of comedic sense. I mean, talk to us even say Julianne Moore in Match of the Stars, the toilet scene.
Yes.
Whereas Jeff Bridges can do it, Jeff Daniels can do it in Dumb and Dumber, and it's all funnier. But women do it, it's all
shocking
and a bit weird, and it shouldn't be. I mean, it's the same bloody thing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, it's an aggressive way of saying, what's wrong with this?
Yeah.
And it's fascinating for all that. I'd recommend it, but be careful when you watch it. Wouldn't watch it with parents.
I probably should watch it at some stage, because it feels like... It feels like this is actually trying to seize a nettle that Bridesmaids wanted to and didn't quite get there.
Bridesmaids almost...
It's okay.
Bridesmaids gets a chunk towards it, I think. I think it does.
Bridesmaids was skewing broader, though.
Yeah.
Yes, but it was.
And it'll probably help the play across in terms of cinemas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Particularly in the States. Yeah. But and this is very much an art house kind of thing in all that appliance. It did get small screens and whatever here and there. But I think you'd like it. I'd be interested to hear your take on it, because... I found it fascinating, not necessarily brilliant, extraordinary in parts and the performances. And it's not, that's beyond it, such a brave performance, cause whatever. It's not that. The acting's warm, it's really, it's smart, it's all that. It's really good.
Okay, very good.
So that's me.
Right, I don't think I rewatched, for me. It's me, yeah?
It is you.
It's all about me. I can't say I watched anything necessarily as thematically thorny as you. That's quite a lineup you had there.
Indeed.
But I did watch one rewatch and one that I hadn't seen before, but I really needed to. The new one I watched, it's not new, but the one that was new to me was I'm a fan of Peter Greenaway, as you know.
Yes.
And I, after all the talk of his new film at Berlin, I plugged a gap in my knowledge of his by watching Prospero's Books, which was his 1992 adaptation of The Tempest, with John Gielgud as Prospero.
John Gielgud.
We miss John.
Sir John.
Sir John. Yeah. Sir John, I beg your pardon. I'll call the media. I can't believe he won an Oscar for that rubbish.
I liked it.
Arthur?
Yeah, Arthur's fine. Less said about Russell Brand remake, the better, but has Dudley Moore. It's Dudley Moore's fine. Jesus, please stop
doing Dudley Moore is awesome.
I'm a nut.
But anyway, as Prosper Welly's as magnificent as ever, but the film is, more than any other Greenaway film I've seen, gives the least damn about plot and just uses an excuse for pretty pictures, which doesn't quite work because he's using a frame within a frame within a frame, more so than usual. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit too much. It's pretty, but if you're a noob to the work,
you wouldn't stand there.
No. But then I rewatched something that just a pure joy. After all the talk of Inherent Vice, I rewatched Punch Drunk Love on Valentine's Day.
Aww.
By himself.
Thanks, Niall. I did, but that's not the point. Harsh.
That's
true, but harsh.
I knew.
It's the world is
I rewatched over Christmas, so...
I just want you to be loved, you know.
That really helps.
And not just respected. For your brains.
Well, I don't even get that either, so...
No, but, you can't betray.
Yes. Anyway, Punch Drunk Love is wonderful. I knew it was very good before that, but this more than any, I just thought, that is bloody lovely.
I think
that
as you get older, you appreciate it more.
Yeah,
I think that's
definitely
a fair point.
Because when I saw it the first few times, and I've watched it quite a number of times.
Me too.
I found it very hard to distance its star, one Adam Sandler, from the rest of his CV. And then once you come back to this and you realise this is not just above his other films, this is transcendent of everything he's ever done.
I mean, this is different world than anything he's ever done.
Yes, even though he's playing a very similar kind of role.
What Anderson gets out of him is a controlled rage without the outlet for humour that he has.
Yeah, he puts it in an all new context.
Yeah.
Where his usual context is gross out nonsense.
Yeah, but he's not allowed here.
No, this is still some kind of raunchy stuff, but it's almost more like something like The Philadelphia Story or Bringing Up Baby, something like that. It's a more pure rom-com.
Yeah, it's not as goofbally as they are.
At times.
Occasionally, but no, it is a bit more straight than those.
Maybe, but it's...
Oh God, when it swoons, it swoons.
Exactly. There is that swoony...
Yeah, there really
and
is.
The look.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Those intertitles, those the colours filling the screen.
Yeah.
And the lens flares. J.J. Abrams, pay attention. This is how you use a lens flare.
Well, no, you see, the problem is J.J. Abrams knows how to use a lens flare. He just doesn't know when to stop.
And Sandler, it is a very good performance because it's the same one he's been giving all his career. But this time, when it's, again, married to the right director and the right material, plus a worthy dueling partner in the...
Emily Watson,
just
how
so wonderful.
She's wonderful.
She's just
so
sweet and yet so... You could tell they're both messed up.
Yeah.
You know why he is. You wonder about her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just... They're lovely. And they're made for each other.
I feel the same way.
Shut up! Shut up! Now! Are you threatening me?
He's great.
That wasn't good. You're dead. Oh, I miss Phil.
Me too.
Long story short, it's an absolute joy of a thing. And if you haven't seen it, see it.
Yeah, amen.
And then go see Inherent Vice. Still on release.
Cool.
Niall.
Yeah, mine is less...
eclectic?
Yeah.
If you say Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm going to throw your laptop out the window.
I rewatched Trading Places.
Okay, yeah.
I can do that.
We can live with that.
Yeah. Well, all I can say to that is, Merry New Year!
I'm from Sweden, She was very obviously not from Sweden.
Yeah.
Oh, man, when Eddie Murphy was good. Remember those days? I remember those days.
The pair of them are fantastic.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd.
And Dan Aykroyd. The way they work off one another. And then you've got basically Statler and Waldorf as Duke and Duke.
Yeah.
So it's just...
It's a fine... There's some great moments and there's great
slapstick in
it. Yeah.
It's, it's a very enjoyable film. It's meant to be a Christmassy type one, or
The Salmon and the Beard, what made me laugh hard, probably more than anything when I was a kid, it's the sound effect that he's taking a bite out of it, is absolutely extraordinary. And still, anytime I see it, just I guff all like a child. It's brilliant.
Ah, it's mad. Absolutely mad. But I really, really like Trading Places. And I like the pair of them together. If you watch it with Coming to America and the Duke brothers are homeless.
That's brilliant. Great gag.
It's quite on PC as well, if I remember correctly. Yeah, Trading Places. It's back in the 80s.
You could get away with something.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis topless and all that.
That wasn't on PC. That just disproved an urban legend. That's all that did.
What, she didn't die in the film? Because
no, the other one.
Oh, right, okay.
What's the other one?
I'll tell you later. Yeah, okay. Anyway.
So, we'll move on to the news. So,
yes.
Big news today. Much to Philip's chagrin, they have announced that Julianne Moore, or I was going to say Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore, now we're talking.
Philip would be here if he camped out outside to get his ticket 10 months for her.
Julie Andrews is coming to Dublin.
Why is this to my chagrin?
Because you wanted a different film, or like not Sound of Music to be the closing film.
Let me try and put this in a context. Yes, Julie Andrews is coming to Dublin for the closing gala of the Gems in Dublin International Film Festival. Now, a closing gala, I think, should be used for a big new, something interesting, something that people want to come see. What they're showing is a commemorative 50th anniversary screening of The Sound of Music. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Julie Andrews as much as anybody. I love The Sound of Music as much as anybody.
I'm not fond of The Sound of Music, but anyway.
Well, we know what you're about, Jay.
The hills are alive with the sound of Bah Humbug.
But I just feel that something much more, something daring, something new could have been put in this slot.
Seems like a missed opportunity a little bit.
Basically, I think what I'm saying is, why isn't Knights of Cups play at this, in this slot? It would have been fantastic. Or something different.
Could have got Terrence Malick over.
Now,
he'd be on a press junket at the time, so you know, he'd be.
Yeah, he loves the press items.
Shot in, turned up the late. Could you imagine? If he just decided to stop and then come to Ireland and turn up the late show? What's the extraordinary?
No, and then getting on the plane, turn around. You will never hear from me again.
As much as I would love Malick on the Late Late Show, I'm still holding out for Werner Herzog on the Late Late Show.
That's a lot more doable.
What kind of questions are these?
What on earth are these things that you are asking? I don't know. They're not terribly probing. I cannot understand your reasoning.
Nobody can, Werner.
And who are you? Why do you resemble a strip of streaky bacon? I don't understand you.
You should go on as Werner Herzog. I don't watch that.
Do you even exist? You must ask yourself this.
Ryan, tell me about the school.
I'll be honest, I'm only here because Kermode dared me. But anyway, the point is, Julie Andrews.
Yes. Dame Julie Andrews.
Dame Julie Andrews, because she is, she's a joy.
Yeah.
And I'd be fascinated to hear her Q&A. Before the screening, which is taking place at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre with Aideen Gormley. I don't know. I feel like this is something of a missed opportunity.
The problem I have is that clashes with the surprise film.
Yeah, there's only one in there, isn't there? Yeah. Even despite
the likes of Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah. We'll see.
But that's a surprise film for you. Always worth the risk.
But less than a week to go to the JDF launch, so yay.
Yay.
We'll have more on that next week. We'll have a lot next week.
Always, we will.
Oh, good Lord,
absolutely will. Yeah. So, the IFI have announced a brand new programme for the new year. So, this is pretty spectacular.
Indeed.
The full list of what's going on.
Indeed. A big shout out to all our friends at the IFI. We love being there. And who doesn't?
Yeah. There's a... All I got to say is...
It's ambitious, isn't it?
Stalker is playing in April.
Yes.
Stalker is... Everybody... Actually, wait till I get my ticket, then everybody should go and see Stalker. Because it's one of the greatest films ever made. Donald Clark is
introducing it. Yeah.
And then Lenny Abramson is introducing Persona. I mean, I'm there for what it all
and,
straight away.
And this is part of a new strand called The Bigger Picture, and so they're going to be showing... a selection of classic films, and they're going to be introduced by various film critics and academics and filmmakers. And we,
it's a great idea.
One of us may pop up there if we're lucky.
Yeah, we, you may be hearing our words.
Hint.
Yeah.
And we have words. We know how to use them.
The other thing that jumped out at me, and for somebody that loves a Sunday afternoon, The Hangover Lounge.
Yeah, isn't that brilliant?
Oh, it's, what an idea.
Back-to-back films plus...
brunch for €21.
Yeah.
That's quite
double
cheap.
Double bills. Like, the first one is going to be Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall, Double Bill of To Have and To Have Not, and Casablanca. Brunch, To Have and To Have Not, and Casablanca for
Bogey,
€21.
Bogey, Bacall, and Brunch.
For
and Bergman.
And Bergman, yes.
For €21.
And if you don't want to watch both films, you can get
yeah,
16
get
for one and then 13 for both.
I
for
say
both
it's
films
a bargain either way.
Yeah,
it is. And that's going to imagine that. I don't know, is it run once a month or.
Well, they're starting in April, but there isn't
any. Could you imagine some of the good films that could be? Oh, I kind of.
But then they're also doing dinner and film combinations in the Feast Your Eye.
They've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, so
it's a great idea, that.
Yeah, so the next one is on March 11th. It's Appropriate Behaviour with an Iranian-influenced menu.
I'm still waiting for Silent Green. come on, now, if I get your finger out. So to speak. Sorry, I've been waiting on a joke all day.
Oh, Stranger Than Fiction is rebranding.
Ah.
Yes.
It's a pity, because I like that as a title, albeit a little unwieldy.
Yeah, so it's the IFI documentary strand, or documentary festival.
It makes sense.
It's the Ron Seal approach, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that'll be running this September 23rd, 27th. We'll have Horrorthon.
Horrorthon's back!
Yep, October 22nd, 26th.
Great fun,
the IFI Family Festival is July 16th and 19th, and the French Film Festival November 18th to 29th.
Formidable.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so this is good. This is a good year ahead.
Indeed.
Yep.
Best of luck.
The one that we don't know that there is the IFI Open Day, which is one of our absolute favourite days of the year.
Oh, God. It's like Christmas for film people, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is.
So that's.
Oh, God. I just got a little chill there thinking about it.
Oh, I'm just remembering when we watched Assassination of Jesse James in 35 minutes.
Oh.
And when we watched Boyhood for the first time.
Yeah.
Cried.
Yeah, I cried as well for different reasons. Anyway, yeah.
And so the IFI International as well is continuing. It's going to show 20 events in 16 countries. On
yeah, I'm signed up for that actually. Apparently, they're going to bring me around the world.
There you go.
In my dreams, that's what's going to happen. But I'm available at IFI if you need somebody.
We're available
I'm
for most
ready.
Anything you
yeah.
propose.
Yeah, I'm ready
within reason. And some of us are married.
They're also going around the island as well with IFI local films for local people. So they're bringing films that were made in the local.
I'm sorry, all the people in the sorry.
Are you a problem here?
In Brandon.
That's so
right.
Yes. So that's what's happening to IFI. The full details are up on the site now. Then Bow Street. The Acting Academy officially opened this week, and Jim Sheridan was there to open it, as Jim Sheridan always is.
he could have. It was a film reel with his sisters.
I like that.
I like that. Yeah, nice touch.
I really hope it was blank, because I would hate for them to be actually destroying film. Or it was something god awful.
Or it was an actual perfectly placed cut, but you're going to do in the film anyway. Which I hope he made an edit. Which would be nice.
That would be genius.
Is it director's cut from Jim Sheridan?
We put far too much thought into
this. Yeah,
what it actually is his 50 Cent movie.
I forgot that existed for a minute.
We talked briefly before about doing a Twitter movie. If we do, we got to start with that. Get Richard O. trying. Come on, who's it?
If ever there was a mix of actor and director that made.
Actor, I think you've been very generous there.
Subject matter and director that made
no sense.
Not a lot of sense.
It's Donald Clark, and when we Donald Clark talked about it on Twitter, who said that he said 50 Cent was miscast as himself, which made me laugh a lot.
Wow!
But we should genuinely. I Twitter myself anytime you want to do it.
Yeah, well,
I'm all over.
The news is, but the Bow Street Screen Acting Academy is open, and it's in Smithfield, where basically everything else is now. It's basically Film Central.
It really is, isn't it?
Has 50 Cent enrolled in any class there? He really needs to.
No.
You can get up to 60 cents if he puts the work in.
Well, no, with the 21% tax back,
he'll be up to 71%
co-production credits.
Logo funny this week.
At least we think so.
Yeah.
I'm laughing. That's all that matters. And Lord knows I'm
having my fun.
And that's all that matters.
And then, fantastic news, Netflix has acquired Jadaville. So this is Richie Smith's new...
I knew nothing about this until Netflix announced that he...
Really? It. I've been tracking this for a while, because we've got Jamie Dornan and Guillaume Canet as the actors in it.
Just call him Mr. Cotillard.
There you go. And it's based on the story of the Irish soldiers in the Congo. So the Irish soldiers went through the Congo. Yeah. So it was the first expedition that we ever went on as part of UN peacekeeping troops.
There you go.
And it didn't go very well.
No, it didn't.
And so there was a siege at Jadaville, and this is the story of that.
Sounds interesting.
It does.
Yep.
I would prefer the documentary, I think, because I don't know how Jamie Dornan is an actor. But, you know, we'll see.
He's great in The Fallout. So
he's...
So, yeah, so that's that will be on Netflix in 2016, and they are going to... put it into an Oscar qualifying run as well. Yeah. So they believe in
They're flexing the muscles.
Yeah, even though it won't start shooting until April. So
there's ambition.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it'll be shooting.
Will we be talking again about Mr. Dornan? Well, who knows?
I think we may be. Right. On to the top 10.
No, I won't be.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Top 10.
At 10. Still here. Into the woods.
Up 1%. For the love of God, go away, movie.
Why? It's fine.
You've seen it?
No, but everyone tells me it's fine. Everyone tells me it's fine. There's nobody who has a really bad word.
That's because I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, there we go.
It's just the standard. Every year it comes along. Hello, Meryl. Nice to see you.
Here's an Oscar nomination. Thank you. There's a few million quid. Thank you.
Goodbye.
See you next year for the adaptation of blah, blah, blah.
Then 9.
So forget.
Yeah.
Not technically in the charts, but in the charts anyway, because it's previewed last weekend. The Wedding Ringer, it actually opens on Friday. So.
This worries me, because this is going to be a lot higher next week, isn't it?
Probably.
So I'm going to have to not talk about this 2 weeks in a row.
Well, when you look at the rest of the charts, there's a gap there for comedy.
Well,
so
they tend to get a comedy out early. February, March is generally the first time we get the comedy, and then we tend to get them every month or six weeks or so.
Can I ask a question on this, Niall, because you strike me as something that might know the answer. Preview weekends...
Don't count as part of the official box office.
But do you have like the average of the amount of money you made? So many screens?
Oh, I actually broke it out. It's 54. Yeah, or something along those lines. I did break it out into...
Okay.
They had it out for Valentine's weekend. It's a comedy about a wedding. So,
well,
for couples with no taste.
It's got Josh Gad and Kevin Hart. They were over here for the premiere last week.
I missed that.
And they were they met with a number of outlets that weren't us. Anyway, so it was. It's meant to be fine. It's meant to be actually okay.
I mean, I'll never know, but yeah, fine. It's not my kind of thing.
Josh Gad is a guy who is getting married, but he doesn't have any friends, so he basically has to hire Kevin Hart to be his best man. And
wasn't this already made of I Love You Man?
I Love You Man is something similar, yeah. I Love You Man is actually quite good.
Also, I would say, generally people...
Paul Rudd, it's not to like.
People that are getting married, it's hard to get a... Like, if you can't get a friend, you're probably not going to get a wife. Generally speaking.
Yeah.
I, you know, just to point out a fatal flaw in this, but anyway.
Read it PG-13.
The Wedding Downer by Jason. There we go.
I'd watch that before I'd watch this.
At 8, The Theory of Everything.
Which I've seen. Yes. Which I've now seen.
Yes.
Leaves me only American Celebrity for their best film nominated films, which I have to see before the Oscars on Monday.
Selma is the last one for me.
I've seen more.
Right. Okay. The Theory of Everything, right? First things first, you're correct. James Marsh knows how to shoot something far better than that idiot that directed The Imitation Game.
Mr. Tilden.
Yeah.
Actually, in fairness, Martin Tilden
is a terrible filmmaker and deserves to die in hell for that and Headhunters.
Oh,
they're two awful films.
They are, but come on. Now, that's a bit...
He's the UA Bowl fucking level of...
He's not. He's not.
He is. He just has slightly better street cred for the moment. He'll be
and
out.
Less likely to challenge you to a fight.
Why respect somebody that challenged me to a fight? At least you know where you stand with that.
Niall, I think you're about to make a less insulting point.
But he was fine. I don't have the same problem with Headhunters that you do.
I don't even have much of a problem with Headhunters.
I hated it. And I hated Imitation Game. It took a story so good and the like everything about it just took everything good about it away.
I'd start blaming the script.
Anywho.
But fair enough.
Theory of everything.
Yeah, theory of... Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
It's going to happen a few more times before we're done.
Theory of everything, yeah. James Marsh... Very nicely shot.
He's gorgeous.
Read it. Cambridge looks absolutely beautiful. Eddie Redmayne, very, very good. A little obvious in terms of performance. I mean,
what other ways could you go?
I don't know.
Daniel Day-Lewis is the only one that can take that and
consent. That's the point, though, isn't it, I suppose? If you're talking about, quote-unquote, Oscar-winning roles... It's an obvious one in terms of nomination. I don't think he's particularly brilliant at it. He's fine. He does everything fine.
Yeah, but it's the
he
year
crucially
as
looks
well.
A bit like him, which helps.
That does help. More than Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
We need to get the TV version.
Well, I like the film overall. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It kind of sails along. It's a couple of issues. One main issue, and this may be just me, but I'm intrigued to hear what you think. I don't think I'm spoiling anything, but there's a point in the film whereby Stephen Hawking's wife goes camping.
Jane. Yes.
For want of a better, well, it's technically what happens, but she visits a tent, and at the same time, Stephen Hawking has an episode.
Yeah, but that's narrative drama.
Yeah,
it's taking liberty.
What I got from it, it's almost like, you know, the transgressive wife, you do this and this happens thing, which you've seen in films a long time ago, and even still, sometimes now, depending on things like...
Are you saying he's trying to pin some of the
blame?
It's
inferring on her kind of alleged, because you don't see it, infidelity, because it hasn't got the nerve to go down that road too much.
It's based on her memoir, so...
Yeah.
And also, again, risking spoiler territory, but... They both had.
It's a biography.
They were both. They both had affairs, and the film doesn't skimp on that.
No, well, it does though. It
acknowledges it. It doesn't go
too far. It's a very chaste.
But on both parts,
everybody's fine. We're all good. Let's all split up. It's nice. New partner came in at just the right time for each of us. It's all perfect, and it's like a Christian version of
a more raw
presume, which I imagine the actual split up. I can only imagine is much more raw. And fraught and whatever, which you would have thought there's a bloody good chunk there for drama, but then dude, you want to show Stephen Hawking as anything but saintly. And this is where you get the problems with biopic, in the sense that the beats that you hit and then and then and then. And that's like it's a fine film in the sense that
it's very
well
made.
It's very well made, you can boil away a couple of hours, but 5 years from now, would anybody care about this film?
Probably not.
Don't think so.
I don't know, but if it comes on a Sunday evening, it is the kind of thing that you'll watch.
I wouldn't watch it again. I don't think I'd watch it again.
But it plays to an older audience.
It does.
Well.
Yeah.
But I'm an older audience now, so it's...
you're too harsh on yourself.
I am, a little bit. But, do you know what I'm getting at?
I've probably been
a little harsh on it, but I think there's a couple of moments where I go, I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, and I'd like to agree, but accept... As you say, in a few years' time, we're probably not going to be thinking about it at all. Let alone
I'd probably
won't
be.
Much the same way that we really don't think that much about King's Speech.
No, I would agree with that. I think King's Speech is a slightly better film, but then again...
But just to touch on something Niall talked about there a second ago, when you mentioned My Left Foot. Interestingly, the Hollywood Reporter did a thing...
They re-asked all the kind of
members about different kind of things. Would you have gone a different way?
Yeah.
How would they have voted on the best pictures of the nominees for these particular years? Usually, it's the more contentious years.
Yeah.
So, the Rocky year was brought up.
I saw this.
And it did not win.
All the President's Men did.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely correct.
I think it was Troy Miss Daisy. My Left Foot would have won. Which is just interesting in terms of, I think... If
that's
you're talking
film,
about, it's a far. It's probably Jim Sheridan's masterpiece. It's a wonderful film.
And Brokeback would have won as well.
Oh, that should have won. So that's hardly a re-evaluation.
And Shawshank Redemption would have won over Forrest Gump. And crucially over Pulp Fiction.
There was a
Pulp
few
Fiction
ones
would have won for me over those.
There was
days.
A few
but
ones,
but I do love Shawshank Redemption.
There was a few ones where it didn't change. What was it? Marissa Greenow's win?
Slumdog Millionaire.
Marissa Tomei's.
Marissa Tomei's win would have stayed.
I like Marissa Tomei.
Yeah,
so do I. And I like my cousin. It's fun.
It's fine. It's fun.
Yeah, like Pesci, here's a nickel. Say Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia.
Did they? I wonder, did anybody say anything about Jack Palance?
No, it wasn't mentioned.
No, that one wasn't there, no.
But did they say anything about Goodfellas? That's what I wanted.
Yeah, well, they didn't mention it, but Goodfellas against Dance of Wolves, like, I mean, it's a travesty.
It is a travesty, but at the same time, I really like Dance of Wolves.
I like Dance of Wolves. It's a fine film, but and another year when it's not so strong a category, you think, yeah, it's fine with that. But something as Goodfellas, which screams
masterpiece.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's it's a travesty in that regard.
Yeah. See, this is the problem. Some years you get some strong films, even though one is clearly better than the other. It was like Gravity and 12 Years a Slave. 12 Years a Slave is obviously the better film.
Yeah.
But and I fear we're going to see that again this year, but ho-hum.
Indeed. We'll be larger next week with that.
No, we will. I don't have the strength, Jim. I can't do this every goddamn year. Year in, year out. Oh, such a thing one, but it's all bullshit to begin with and blah, blah, blah.
Right, anyway.
Right. Sorry,
we've moved on from Theory of Everything, I think.
Yes, so to another of the Oscars, Selma.
Yeah. You still see this one?
Is that 7? So this is the one I have not yet seen.
It's good.
It is good. Very good.
I liked it a lot.
I think it's better than Theory of Everything, for a start.
I would agree with that. Once I see American Sniper, I will rank my Best Picture nominees.
People.
The excitement.
I'm just thinking, I may have mentioned it before, but I saw somebody sum up my opinion on Theory of Everything. They tweeted it when they compared it to The Imitation Game. Neither film deserves a Best Picture nomination, but at least The Theory of Everything remembers it's a film.
Yeah.
Unlike The Imitation Game, which is a TV movie attempting to do an impersonation of the film.
Yeah, I agree with that. So it sounds as far as we're
the one that we missed in terms of what won versus what or what would have won versus what did win. 1999, Saving Private Ryan would have won over Shakespeare in Love.
Well, the Thin Red Line was up that year. That would have won over Saving Private Ryan for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Because it's a far superior film.
Yeah, although I don't mind Shakespeare in Love.
I don't mind either. I saw
it's a bit long. Yeah. It is, but I enjoy some of
it. It is fun, though, and yeah, I like it.
I'm not in it very much, but I do like Geoffrey Rush. Mm. Well, that'll have them rolling in the aisle.
Geoffrey Rush is always good.
Continuing the countdown at 6, Jupiter Ascending.
Still here.
I'm really. It's gone down 45%, so I can't make my Jupiter Descending joke.
No, you can.
I can, yeah, that's fine.
Still, it's gross nearly over 200,000, so.
Doesn't sound like a lot.
Well, considering
the cost, that is nothing.
No. But considering the caustic reviews, that's better than I had any reason to expect.
Has anybody liked it? I haven't read with many positive reviews.
There's a few.
Is there? Yeah. Like, and is it decent as opposed to
no, they say it's daft but fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd expect more for, 170 million or whatever it cost?
Something along those lines.
I mean, you daft but fun, really? Mm. I mean, come on, Wachowskis. And I like Wachowskis. I kind of always hope for something good when they bring a film out. So they have a lot of goodwill for Bound and The Matrix. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
If they just did those two, it's like, that's not a bad two films. But we kept going.
Yeah. At 5, Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Ugh.
Well, I think we discussed this a bit at length last week, but this is nothing that appeals to me.
I don't think
I like Colin
Wild Horses couldn't drag any of us to this.
I know I will go see it. I don't know if I'll go see it. See, the problem is there's so many other things.
I know.
But I do want to
see Selma first.
Yeah, no, I will. Then at 4, American Sniper.
Yeah, we talked about this a lot as well, but hasn't everybody?
It's my last one to see from the Oscars, and I'll have to see it before Monday.
So I can't wait to see what you think. I really can't.
I'm kind of afraid. 1.6 million.
But
you're allowed to hate it. It's you're allowed to hate any film, okay? But
and I do frequently. But I'm hoping it's a little bit better.
I don't think you'll love it.
I'm not.
I hate to see if you'd even like.
I'm not a huge Eastwood fan. I liked a lot of his films, but not, I think he's a little overrated filmmaker.
Well, funny you say that because I think his direction is one of the strongest elements of the film. It's better than the characterization from the script, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see.
I think I know what Eastwood was trying to say, but he could have picked some less contentious material and less contentious memoir to illustrate that.
Maybe.
It's like somebody tweeted a link to a skit.
Spielberg
Frankie
was going to do it.
I don't know. That would have been too mawkish. I would have liked to... what was I going to say? Train of thought. Derailed. Yes, somebody tweeted a link to one of Frankie Boyle's skits about this. But he made a very valid point when he said, every time America goes to war, we'll send our filmmakers in about 10 years' time to make films about how it damaged their soldiers.
Yeah.
As opposed to anything else.
It's actually proved quite popular in the Arab world. It's doing quite well.
Well, sure, as a recruitment video for God knows who. I don't know. You see, this is the problem. Its politics are not as clean cut.
Which is fine. I like that. If the politics is as it should be.
Well, I mean, that's what all the debate has been about. Yeah, but I think...
I'll be watching it with my political hat on as well as my film hat.
Well, that's why I like the film, because, like you say, it's not so clear cut. And the reason for that is Eastwood's direction.
Okay.
So, on to three. Big Hero 6.
Yeah, fine.
Haven't seen it.
It's okay.
Not so inclined.
You know, for kids. So, yeah.
It's okay.
No, it is. It's a decent
I wouldn't
film.
Put anybody off about it.
Last I checked,
more.
I'm in my late 20s now.
Okay. Anyway. Then at 2, Shaun the Sheep.
Still haven't seen, but I really want to see.
I wouldn't mind myself.
But you're in your late 20s, so.
And what age are you, Jay?
In my late 20s.
Jay's a bad liar, people.
Anyway, yeah, I am.
I want to see this. It looks like...
Of course I do. It's Aardman.
It's like lovely, really fun.
Aardman, always good.
Then...
Almost always good.
The number one movie of the week, with the number one box office opening of the last, 3 years.
Good Lord.
It is, I think, after absolutely incredible box office taking of 906,000...
50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
My goodness.
Actually, the last big one was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Can I ask a question? I've seen a headline in one of our various newspapers that said this did 1.3 million over the weekend.
Yeah. You would have seen that on Skanon as well. It made 400,000 in the North.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Are we accounting that then these days?
The Universal issued a press release saying it made 1.3 million.
The
breakdown is...
I thought it would be included in the UK anyway, though.
The original breakdown was that it made 913,000 in the Republic, and then when the official figures came out, it made 906. But that could be adjusting for differences in the exchange rates. It depends on Rentrek. Take the figures, translate them to pounds. So.
It's a lot of moolah either way.
Yes, so, yes it is.
What I can't wait to see is when we're back here next week and we look at that drop.
Well, I'm not so sure anymore. I would have said exactly the same as you. But it didn't certainly drop. I mean, look, the average location is like 14,000. It certainly ought to come down, but you would expect so. I mean, that's not
but
a lot.
How
that's
much it. Is the thing? How much of this hype has been front-loaded?
But I don't know if it's worth...
It's sold out in a number of screenings this weekend.
Also, Philip, it's getting critically acclaimed in places where you wouldn't expect it to be critically acclaimed.
Are you saying acclaimed or acknowledged?
No, I've seen the acclaims. Has anybody else seen them? The bizarre kind of...
There's been some
think pieces on reviews. It's
getting every range from its...
Yeah, from no stars
God-awful to its brilliant, so...
Yeah.
We must stress, none of us have seen it.
And I'll be honest with you, come next week, I will not have seen it either.
Neither will I.
No, it's unlikely that I will see it either.
Me turning up alone to this thing,
I just don't have any... I just have no interest in this as a film. It looks dreadful.
And even at this stage, in fact, especially at this stage, I feel like everything has been said about the film, from its sexual politics to
the ridiculous amount of articles about it.
Wasn't that always going to be the way?
But it's like, 14 things we've spotted in 50 Shades Grey that you may not.
Yeah, but that's because it's huge. It's made 300 million worldwide already.
On a 40 million budget?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Right. So the sequels have already been greenlit,
But you know what I say in all of this, and I would have said it from the beginning, all kudos to the director, Sam Taylor Wood.
Agreed.
Because...
Sam
Taylor Wood Johnson, whatever she goes by these days.
Philip, she goes by her name.
It's just, she was Sam Taylor Wood.
I know.
You know what I mean. But, okay. She went into this presumably knowing this could turn out a complete fiasco. Indeed, the odds were stacked against it. But most reviews even the ones that just say, no, this is not good.
No, some of them don't. Some of them really go to town. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Most of them
are acknowledging that she did the best that she got.
She's come over okay.
You have Seamus McGarvey, a cinematographer.
It's going to look good.
The very least, it's going to look good. So yeah.
This is true.
But the fact that after the scene talk of ructions with the author, E.L. James, she's walked away from the sequels. She's not signed up for any more.
That same thing happened to Catherine Hardwicke in Twilight.
Yeah, but the fact that they had enough gumption to say, wow, I've been part of something that's made a lot of money, but I'm still going to go.
I hope she has points.
Biggest opening for a female director ever. So,
good on her. Like,
because Twilight was co-directed, or because Frozen was co-directed by a woman, it's unlikely to hit that. So what it's aiming for is Kung Fu Panda 2 figures, which are 660-odd million.
Probably. Sure. I say, kudos to her because she's walked away with a smart deal. She's made some money out of this. She'll got a lot of. I mean, they'll put that on the posters for her next project, no matter what, from the director of 50 Shades of Grey. Boom. Good for her.
Yeah. Still going to see it, but
I know. For her. Yep. And also, if you give Dakota Johnson...
apparently she comes out of it okay.
From what I hear, she acknowledges the whole thing is daftness and she just runs with it.
Yeah, whereas Jamie Dornan apparently comes out less well. So
I blame the script, but okay, I haven't seen it,
I blame the fact that he really doesn't seem to want to have been there. Of the sort of things that he's been saying on the publicity tour, he doesn't seem to be at all happy with the idea of actually being involved at all with this film. So.
And he has two more to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's signed up for a lot, has he? I presume the bottom are.
Oh, they'd have to pick up anybody.
Well, sure, Charlie Hunnam walked. Yeah. He was cast originally and he walked away from it. So.
Smart boy.
Maybe not.
I don't know. It's a massive shot in the arm, isn't it? But did he want another Pacific Rim? I don't know.
Well, isn't he in Crimson Peak?
He is. Uh-huh. He's in a number of things, but usually as the sort of fourth or fifth down the line of...
He's probably not interested in that kind of A-list stardom, which might be a smart thing career-wise in the long run.
And he has a successful TV show.
Not for much longer. I mean, that's done now.
Yeah, well, but he...
But he had, yeah.
He'll be fine. Yeah. That's the point.
Anywho, on to the new releases.
Oh, boy.
Yep, so we're going to start off with the one that Philip has seen, The Duke of Burgundy.
The one that I have seen and I haven't stopped talking about
since.
Right, I've talked about it on the podcast before indeed, but just to reiterate, this is just a little bit magnificent.
This is your favourite film of the year so far?
Thus far. If this isn't in my top five, nay, top three at the end of the year, this is going to be a very, very good year. This is Peter Strickland's follow-up to Barbarian Sound Studio, and... It's kind of been pitched as the anti-Fifty Shades of Grey. And it is in a lot of ways. I mean, it's a film about S&M, which doesn't feature any nudity. Not one errant pubic hair. No glimpses of anything. But the relationship at the heart of it is so driven by these activities that... You know, even though we don't see anything on screen, enough is referred to and hinted at that it earns its 18th rating. Once I thought about it, because I thought it was a bit hard.
Does it earn it for no duty?
You'd be surprised.
Okay, listen, I'll be
sexual content doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to be explicit.
But what did it get, 18th?
Yeah.
So it seems harsh.
I haven't seen it, so we'll talk next week on this.
Because you will see it.
Oh, I've seen it this weekend.
Good. But the basic story is a young woman played by Chiara Dana. She arrives at the house of her seeming employer, Sitzebabit Knudsen, star of Borgen. She's a maid there. She starts her tasks, and when they're not done to a satisfactory level, well, break out the leather boots and so forth. But as the film goes on, and this same scenario plays out a couple of times, you start to realise... this dynamic isn't what I think it is it? And it's about the roles we play in relationships. And not just, you know, those kind of sexual roles, but how such things, such fantasies are required sometimes to keep relationships going. And it's beautifully made. this whole thing looks exquisite, sounds exquisite. The sound design of this thing, every creak and just every nuance of sound is accentuated, and it's just, oh, your ears are just in bliss. And two breathtaking performances at the heart of it. As I say, there's a shift in the relationship, and in fact, repeated shifts, and you buy that completely. You just don't know how this is going to pan out, and if somebody's going to crack, whip crack, if you will. And just Strickland, to my book, is 3 for 3, but this is his strongest film yet, and he is doing extraordinary stuff. He's taking a lot of risks. He said it himself in interviews. You do something about sex, basically, and you better have your wits about you. And he is just, this is somebody at the top of their game. I can't wait to see what he does.
I'm very excited about it, not in the obvious sense, but I can't wait to see.
Yeah, it's astounding.
So then, one of the films that, I mean, we were looking forward to seeing due to the director, Michael Mann's Black Hat, is out this week.
Yes. Now, I am an avowed Mann fan, a man's man, if you will.
God.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Philip.
I'm putting that on his epitaph.
He was a man's man.
But I, in fact, there was one rewatch I had during the weekend, which I didn't mention, Miami Vice, which some people think is going through a bit of a re-evaluation.
Too many people, I think, of that.
Harsh.
Not Lone Ranger style, but...
You know. No.
I don't know, man. Some people really love Miami Vice.
I like it. I wouldn't say I love it, but...
It was very average.
There's good stuff in there, trust me. But I do like Michael Mann as a filmmaker, so I'm seeing Black Hat, despite the reviews. And the reviews do seem to be skewing a certain way.
Yeah.
Those that don't like it, don't like it. But the ones who like it, really like it. And the ones who really like it seem to be the Mann fans. So yes, this is playing right into my wheelhouse.
Aren't we talking about, kind of what we briefly touched upon before, that, you know, if you have a certain filmmaker that you like, you're generally cut more slack to where somebody else can object to you. Like, I was, and indeed, I suppose, still am, like, a Mann fan, but...
Not to the level of your Scorsese fandom.
No, I mean...
Look, I'm going
to
be
there have had issues with Mann's films all the way back to... Christ, Heat.
Well,
I don't think he's ever topped The Insider, for example.
Heat's my personal favourite, but I love Heat and I love The Insider. Okay, fair enough. They were his high point.
Yeah.
But, and I'm perfectly happy to say that some of his films since then have not met. Okay, they haven't matched those standards because they're just that high.
Yeah.
Well, Collateral was good.
That's probably about the best of the ones after that, I think.
Look, Collateral.
Public Enemies had some of the best sound design I've ever seen.
Look, yeah. I really like Public Enemies.
It's a dreadful film.
It's not. You think I'm being overly sympathetic to some films. I think you're overly harsh on Public Enemies.
Yeah, I know.
Rewatch Public Enemies.
I haven't got the time.
I'm going to. I will almost never.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
No, it's been a while. I need to.
I don't.
My best mate, who is a computer forensic engineer, he said that Black Hat is god-awful. So this is a guy who...
Is it technically or...
Yeah, you see, I don't know.
In terms of the narrative and how actually these things
how
work.
Realistic it is and a number of other things, but yeah,
okay, that I could... I don't believe
like
that.
All I'll say is it looks like a Michael Bay trailer.
It kind of does.
It does.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And, it's not it doesn't really sell it.
And I don't know about Hemsworth doing this. I everything about the whole thing looks shunky to me.
Well,
I won't be on seeing the cinema, but I will see it at some point.
I'll let you know, although...
I'll be tired if I hate it. You'll hear all of it.
the review has been done for us on the site by Danny, one of our...
How do you find that? Friends.
He didn't like it.
No?
No. Pretty much going along with the general consensus, but... I'm open to giving this a chance.
I'd be interested to hear what you think of it. I know you'll be honest though.
This is the weakest reviewed Mann film in a long time.
Yeah, and it's bombed. I mean, bombed.
So far, 7 million domestic gross in the US from a 70 million budget. That's disastrous.
Like, I mean, wherever it's saying, ironically, I want Mann films to be successful because he should be making more films. So I still hope for that great film that he could still yet make again.
I think this is one reason why so many people are endeared themselves to them, because God bless him, he's had a few successes, Collateral, Heat, but when he bombs, he really bombs, financially speaking.
Yeah.
Black Hat has bombed, Public Enemies did okay. Miami Vice didn't do great. The Insider, arguably his best film, only took 60 million from a 90 million budget.
And there's not, I don't really care about box office in the context of...
Well, clearly a lot of people don't, because he keeps getting the budgets to make these things.
But I mean, this might, they might look again after this. I mean...
Well, I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think if man wants to be successful, he needs to down his scope. Because his scope of these things... Blackout's huge in terms of its reach. It's global.
It's all over the globe. Yeah, I know.
Global cyber hacking, that is the basic thing. One single hacker is threatening worldwide systems, and it's up to Chris Hemsworth,
here's the thing,
expert, to find
it. Here's a film that is hitting at exactly, I mean, in America,
the right time.
At exactly the right time in the zeitgeist. It is hitting at a time when...
It's a wonder Sony are predicting it.
Computer hack, the Sony hack was like
a big advertisement.
And it still couldn't ride that to success. That's
but what do we attribute to this? And I don't think it's just the fact of the reviews.
I think first of all, I think it's one of the worst trailers I've seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't think that helped it.
The poster's bad.
Unless you're into hacking, you don't understand what a black hat, white hat concept is. All right, you're into westerns.
Yeah. And also,
nobody anymore is into westerns.
Yeah.
Movies about hacking don't do well.
They never have. And they've a tendency to look dated a few years later. They look a bit...
Oh, well, that's the thing. But you can't make somebody sitting at a computer exciting.
People don't make films about writers generally for the same reason. You don't see somebody typing. Nobody cares about somebody typing.
It's Barton thing.
But adaptation. That's not it. It's not it. And plus,
Wonder Boys. I could keep going. But
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah, Operation Swordfish. That's the way to go.
He says killing his own point.
No, biopic.
Yeah, I know.
Right, so then, onto one I've seen. Cake. The Jennifer Aniston starring...
Not the jumper in the cake, alas.
This is awful. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. Ugh.
tell us, Noel, is Jennifer Aniston...
Jennifer Aniston is very good, and she's trying very hard to get an Oscar. She is doing... She's going down the monster route of drabness, and she has scars.
Just didn't put makeup on,
exactly.
So she'd give her an Oscar.
Exactly, but somehow she seems to have absolutely perfectly dyed hair. Despite the fact that she doesn't seem to care much about her appearance whatsoever, her hair is dyed from root to tip. Which is something
things
I just,
matter. No, it doesn't matter. I agree.
To say what I thought of this movie during the movie, the number of her house is shown, which is 127, 127, 127, right? And for a good number of minutes, I tried to figure out. Was that a prime number?
Wow, you were bored.
So,
Jesus, man.
Yeah, so,
put that on the poster.
So this
that is the best review I've heard of the thing so far. Well done, sir.
So that, yeah. So it is. It's fine.
Is there anything worse than fine in the movie? Is it like insane?
That's damning.
She's good, right? And all the supporting characters, good. You got Felicity Huffman, you have William H. Macy, Sam Worthington as an Australian, which is very refreshing. Anna Kendrick as well. So you mean the cast is good, but they're used in a story that goes absolutely nowhere. It deals with mental illness and chronic pain in a way that's very, very cliched. Basically, what they've done is they've taken Dr. House and removed the fact-finding and enjoys being grumpy aspect of it, and what you're left with is, you know...
Just being grumpy.
Exactly.
That sounds like a slog and a half, doesn't it?
Doesn't it really?
So hence my trying to figure out was 127, 127 a prime number, which it's not, but, you know...
I'm glad that we're doing it.
Yeah.
Wow, I think you'll say that.
Yeah. So, Cake, I mean, if you want to see a good performance, watch it. But otherwise, it's a grad student film. It has some hokey sort of cinematography moves in it where it's like, oh, look at this, and it's light filtering through trees, and nonsense. And then
it's just trying hard for a while,
I mean,
wasn't it?
If a film can't successfully sell me on having delusions about seeing Anna Kendrick, you're in trouble, you know. So.
Yeah.
I saw that trailer and she briefly popped on. Like, oh, maybe. Oh no.
Yeah. No. So cake was not for me.
So no cake for me.
Yes.
Even though we've seen it.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Then, other films out this week, all of which we have yet to see. Wedding Ringer is one that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. But let's not go back into that.
Then Project Almanac, which is a found footage movie. So.
See, there you have it. I'm sorry, but as soon as you say the words found footage, unless it's a re-release of Cannibal Holocaust, I don't want to know.
Or the Blair Witch Project.
Less so, but yes, fair enough. I do like Blair Witch, that's fair. But I know which one I prefer.
Yeah, fair.
In any case, no, this just looks basically found footage thing about teenagers who get this, find plans for a time machine, and actually manage to build it.
Yep.
And then do really dumb, dull stuff with it. Danny's written a review of this for us as well. He liked it about as much as he liked Black Cat.
I'm going to watch Primer. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, there you go.
That sounds like a better plan.
Yeah. Do what I did last 40 minutes before it all exploded in my head. It's like, then I just stopped caring and just enjoyed the thing of it.
And then a film that I absolutely have to see.
Ditto.
Kimiko the Treasure Hunter.
This sounds great. So
we've talked about this before.
But just to sum up the plot, and if you're not sold by this, I feel for you.
Yeah.
A Japanese girl believes the plot of Fargo is real and travels to North Dakota to find the money. How great is that?
Imagine that, the pitch. Imagine it's like, work with me here. And somebody pitches like, yeah, here's
$5 million.
Go make it.
And the girl is played by Rinko Kikuchi, the Oscar-nominated star of Babel. Or Babel? I say Babel. I learned it as Babel.
Babel.
Even though Babel kind of plays into the wheelhouse of the film. You know, talking, languages.
It was never ending.
Well, Babel is the... The biblical story.
Yeah, yeah, but they're all talking in Babel. Babel. They're babbling.
Yeah,
they certainly are.
I stretch the point. The point is, Kimiko the Treasure Hunter sounds fantastic, and it's got raves.
And hopefully one of us will have seen it.
Oh, I'm going to.
92% on Rotten Tomatoes. I know we don't use it, but still, 92%.
That's pretty good.
Duke of Burgundy hit 94%. Just saying.
Still, I mean, between Kimiko and the Duke of Burgundy, there are two... Very, very good.
This is a dream for you art house people.
Yeah.
Of which I am one of you.
Indeed.
For you, you mainstream people, Cake is probably the best of what's
or
out.
Black Hat.
If you're a fan, Black Hat. Yeah. And I am. So I have to go to the cinema at least 3 times this weekend because I must rewatch Duke of Burgundy.
Well, there we go.
Boy, I'm going to be busy.
So on that bombshell, we'll leave it for the week.
Very good.
Bye.